WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia officials strike a hopeful tone about COVID vaccines and school reopenings, but there are still many people resistant to getting a shot. As the body of VCU freshman Adam Oakes is laid to rest, the school's president says a review of Greek life there will be wide-ranging. Meanwhile, controversy over Virginia's parole board continues to simmer as an employee of the state's government watchdog agency files a lawsuit. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 10th. The head of Virginia's vaccine distribution, Dr. Danny Avula, says Virginia is now receiving hundreds of thousands of vaccine doses every week. Shipments of the new Johnson & Johnson vaccine will rise considerably later this month. And now Avula says state and local officials have to focus more on getting people vaccinated.
We are going to have to continually shift our education, our messaging, and our strategies to get vaccine into those hesitant communities.
Avula says Black communities originally expressed the most apprehension, but now he says more people in white rural areas are showing resistance to the vaccines. Governor Ralph Northam struck a cautiously hopeful tone Tuesday on Virginia's response to the coronavirus. While highlighting rising vaccination rates, Northam said a return to in-person schooling would soon be a reality for many more students in the Commonwealth. From partner station VPM in Richmond, Patrick Larson reports.
Governor Northam says two-thirds of school staff statewide have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. It's not a requirement for schools to reopen, but he says it helps. The state's deadline for school divisions to begin offering in-person learning options is next week on March 15th.
I'm glad to say that now all of our school divisions have submitted plans for in-person learning options, and most have started.
Northam asked parents to work with teachers on bringing kids back to school safely so more can return in the spring. Noting learning loss and mental health issues associated with students going virtual, Northam says the classroom is, quote, where they need to be.
Patrick Larson reporting. Also Tuesday, Northam's administration responded to a simmering controversy over the Virginia Parole Board. The governor's chief of staff defended the administration and said the case was becoming politicized. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
Last year, the Office of the State Inspector General investigated the board's decision to grant 8 people parole. Investigators reported the board didn't follow its own guidelines. But then in late February, Richmond CBS affiliate reported that it obtained an early draft of the report. That draft said that members of the parole board falsified records. Monday, an investigator in the Inspector General's office filed a lawsuit. She alleges that the Office of the Attorney General redacted and edited a report on the process, and that she and the Inspector General were intimidated during a meeting with Northam administration officials. Both the Attorney General and the administration have denied these allegations. In a news conference Tuesday, Northam's chief of staff, Clark Mercer, questioned the lawsuit's political motivations. He pointed to the investigator's lawyer, who sued the administration and Democratic lawmakers on other occasions.
Of all of the thousands and thousands of lawyers one might retain on this very, very serious issue, to retain an overtly political stakeholder is disappointing.
Republican lawmakers raised the issue during the General Assembly session and have called for the parole board leadership to be fired or impeached. Senators from both parties have called for a select General Assembly committee to investigate the parole board. I'm Jad Khalil.
A Virginia Commonwealth University freshman who was found dead following a fraternity party has been laid to rest. Adam Oakes, who was 19 when he died, was buried Monday in Northern Virginia. Meanwhile, VCU's president released more details Tuesday about the school's comprehensive review of Greek life on campus. Alan Rodriguez Espinoza, also with our partner station, VPM, reports.
In a blog post, VCU President Michael Rao said this review will be conducted by the university's Division of Student Affairs. It will investigate issues related to hazing and general recruitment practices, as well as alcohol and drug abuse and sexual violence. Rao says the goal is for VCU to become, quote, a national model that promotes health and safety and creates a climate of respect and inclusion. Last month, freshman student Adam Oakes died after allegedly being hazed by members of the fraternity Delta Chi. The group has since been suspended, although some VCU students I've spoken with have called for a permanent expulsion and even the purging of all Greek life from campus.
Alan Rodriguez Espinoza reporting. Last month, Virginia's Senate delayed setting up new restrictions on how lawmakers spend their campaign money. State senators have been creative in their use of that cash. Ben Pavier, also with VPM, reports.
Senator Joe Morrissey is a graceful wakeboarder. The proof is in a 2-minute video of the Democrat and his kids at Lake Anna. Morrissey spent $1,200 in campaign funds on the video. Another candidate, former Republican delegate Tim Hugo, used campaign funds to pay his teenage children to help clean his office. That spending is all legal under current law. Nancy Morgan heads the Virginia chapter of American Promise, a group advocating for campaign finance reform.
For the last 2 years, we've been saying this is the lowest hanging fruit.
Last month, the state Senate killed a plan that would have banned personal use of campaign dollars.
This was really a surprise to our entire group.
The issue will now likely go to a commission for further study. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Finally today, the House of Representatives has approved a pro-union bill proposed by Virginia Representative Bobby Scott. Its prospects in the Senate, though, are less certain. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Virginia is one of 27 states that has what some people call a right-to-work law, which union supporters sometimes call a freeloader law. That's because it allows people who aren't members of unions and don't pay union dues to benefit from higher wages and working conditions negotiated on their behalf by unions. That's why Congressman Bobby Scott of Newport News introduced the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, which creates what he calls a fair share fee, allowing unions and employers to assess fees supporting the cost of collective bargaining.
The PRO Act provides new tools to protect workers from anti-union intimidation and retaliation. It introduces meaningful penalties for companies that violate workers' rights and closes loopholes they use to exploit workers.
Republican Congressman Bob Good of Lynchburg says unions make American companies less efficient and less profitable.
Unions protect the unproductive worker, diminish the incentive to stand out and be exceptional. They treat everyone the same based on seniority. They encourage an entitlement mentality, and they foster an attitude of resentment toward management.
The House has approved the bill, but it faces a much more difficult time in the Senate. A handful of Senate Democrats have yet to sign on as co-sponsors, and even if the bill had the support of all Senate Democrats, it would need either 10 Senate Republicans or the elimination of the legislative filibuster. Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, stay safely connected, and enjoy your Wednesday.